Describe fully or skip entirely. This obscene transcript satisfies no one. Ah, delicate master. Forgive me if I stare in tender wonder for a moment upon discovering that in your purity you do not recognize this form, which is to me so chillingly familiar. It is a quotation, this strange sexual script, not my invention, but the spawn of that dark author whose phantom can nevermore be exorcised. We have stared together at the Enlightenment's keen sun, reader, and cannot now escape its tendrilled afterglow, which lingers in our vision black and strange. Donatien Alphonse François Marquis de Sade. Since I cannot perfectly recall the grunts and blasphemies with which the hound and high priestess punctuated their climax, what better substitute than the lines which spawned them? Or, rather, spawned him, then through him educated her. Sade's La Philosophie dans le Boudoir is an educational treatise, intended for young ladies, its author claims, but with models for all genres of libertine, young and old, expert and novitiate. It is not a thrilling read for the unenlightened. Indeed, I reproduce it here quite faithfully, pure dialogue, naked of any description beyond the occasional summary of who inserts what where. Sade writes the least erotic sex scenes you can imagine, alternating with long stretches of dialogue on moral philosophy, politics, religion, family life, the origins of the state and patriarchy, much as one might find in Locke or Montesquieu or Spitfire Thomas Paine. I confess myself stunned, Mycroft, to find Earth's most infamous pornographer so dull. What is the point of such unerotic erotica? Whom does it satisfy? Why, its dark author, of course, and his libertine contemporaries, whose lust blushes fired not at heaving bosoms, but at the silken rustle of ink-wet page-proofs, the rhythmic stallion groan of the printing press, and the spear-thrust climax of a well-proved thesis. Sade's public was unique in history. New radicals who lapped up forbidden pamphlets professing such scandalous suggestions as that, if he wished, a man might choose to examine his religion rationally. Refuse taxation without representation or stick his dick up a cow's ass. Philosophy and pornography were both forbidden fruits, sold by one circuit of underground vendors. Even Diderot, le philosophe, was jailed in younger days for writing porn. How better for our young arch-atheist to earn his daily baguette? But to guard the encyclopedia, Diderot hid his atheism, and begged his colleagues, too, to feign tameness until their great project was safely launched. Sade wore no masks. He earned France's fear for what he did to lovers, and he earned history's for articulating why one should. Did you laugh, master, when Madame recited Sade's proof from the roundness of the anus that if there is a god, then he endorses sodomy? Deeper in that dialogue, as you watch Sade's monsters prove with the same wit and mid-orgasm that if all men are created equal, then nothing is more natural than parricide, you will not laugh. Sade warns that he who would use reason as a key to open one door opens many, and he who would make reason a scythe to fell injustices must beware what else the blade might cut. We did not know that the threads sustaining the moral warp of our society were so interconnected until we pulled one. Since before man learned to count his summers, we had sown each generation's seeds in tradition's soil. Suddenly, the Enlightenment would sow our seeds instead among the furrowed pages of the encyclopedia and water them with reason. If the fruit grows black and strange, it will not matter that we have a philosophe willing to taste first and test for us whether we have raised manna or poison. As liberté and égalité grow universal, we have no other crop left on which to feed. Forge your new world carefully, Patriarch, warns our Marquis, lest it be filled with me. Gentle Master, you have watched Nietzsche and Kafka crawl from that primordium. You cannot call Sade wrong. Aren't you afraid that Jehovah will cast you down into the fiery pit and all that? Julia asked it with the wilting but delighted breath of denouement. They'll know what you've done, and why. You deserve it, now more than ever. This isn't just breaking commandments, it's torturing your own God. Oh, I'll deserve it 1,000 times over. But he can't cast me out. In this despicable universe, he needs every angel he can get. Countless millions he has at home, but here, what, 4? Does Jehovah really hate this universe that much? Oh, yes. He just doesn't realize yet that what he feels is named hate. Dominic was already sniffing, moving again around Julia as if scouting the next assault. He tried to explain in our last session how suffering works in his universe. There, sentience can elect to participate in straining experiences to increase its own complexity, like a pattern growing more complicated while the object the pattern decorates remains unchanged. Except, time and space don't exist in his universe. So the pattern also exists without the object, in a sense. I don't understand fully what he was trying to say. He broke down halfway through, as always. No vocabulary in my measly languages. But the basics were clear. If he met the callous bastard who designed this universe of suffering, he'd criticize, protest, scream. Do you think he's capable of screaming? Perhaps not. Either way, it's time to prove that if he did scream, if he wore his sacred throat to blisters screaming, this universe's maker wouldn't care. Again, a pleasure moan from Julia. Did you feel something like this coming, reader? That something was off about our conclave chief that night with Thisbe and Carlyle? Her luxuriant hair, her suit a little too form-fitting, her touch picking at Carlyle's scarf or brushing back his hair with those perfect filed nails. Gender, reader. A hint of it, like spice. It all flows from one spring. Imagine young Julia, just a few years into her teaching, as drunk on the idea of God as Carlyle, when into her classroom stalks this devil Dominic, asking to join her priesthood. Imagine the force of him, how utterly training failed her in the face of this malicious, masculine, sensual, tyrannically honest beast. All her life, she studied modern humans, but this is a mastodon, a phoenix, a lost thing come to life. What arts she learned from him, and how they changed her. You say he corrupted her, reader? Perhaps he did. Or perhaps this daughter of popes and emperors was waiting for something to breathe new power into the cliches she'd learned in training. If Julia has transformed hundreds of one-time clients by slicing those healing wounds that leave them better people, she learned her surgeon skills from Dominic. And Dominic from his God. You're serious? Julia asked. Always. But about what in particular? You've really found proof of the existence of God? Yes. He fired the answer like a shot. Yes, I have. And here's the bargain. If you wait and don't start snooping after it yet, I'll show you soon. As soon as I'm done with what I need it for. But if you start interfering, then I'm going to hide it from you. And I know you could track it eventually, but I can make that take a long time. You'll have it sooner, much sooner, if you let me bring it to you when I'm ready. She sighed. That's a lot to ask of a censor. I know. I'll make it up to you. Such a contented purr. And what else have you to confess today? Not much. I tortured some thugs, broke into some houses, stole some things, took three prisoners, tormented and traumatized a child, started to seduce a married woman, but didn't bother finishing. You know, I don't think I've broken my vow of chastity once this week, except just now. She sounded worried. That's not good for your health. I've been busy, besides. I heard the creak of a straining chair or table. The world is settling down. There aren't many left who are rebellious enough that I need to get on top of them, and not many with the authority to force me underneath. They laughed together, though I'm sure the joke is more in how they lay than in what he said. Julia, I need your help.
With what?
A few things. First, can you tell me about a cousin sensei called Carlyle Foster?
Carlyle?
They're one of mine.
One of your what?
Students? Parishioners?
One of mine.
Knowing Julia as I did, I had suspected so much, but it was good to be certain.
Oh, that's too bad.
He laid more kisses now, a series of them, with a steady rhythm as if progressing inch by inch along some part of Julia like footsteps.
Are you fond of her?
One of my best. Extremely sweet and loyal and credulous. I've no other moles that good, it's seeming benign.
Why, has something happened to Carlyle?
Not yet.
But may I have her?
Once, or in general?
I need to break her. Make her mine.
Oh, please don't, Julia crooned. I don't see a way around it. Furniture creaked again as their weight shifted. It's a small world, and we've learned so many techniques from one another. It's inevitable we'll get in one another's way from time to time.
Julia's voice turned coaxing like a child's.
Can't you hold off a bit? Carlyle's in the middle of a mission. Dominic enjoyed this laugh.
Using her in your chess game with Danae, are you? Making a move on the Sunnier Weeksbooth bash?
Good target.
Frustrating target. They've been impregnable with that stubborn Esmerald Revere, refusing to let any of them have even one session with anybody else.
You remember the one time I tricked Cato Weeksbooth into coming here?
Of course. An even darker laugh. It was the same when I showed up at the house, ran for his life.
Good instincts, clever little thing.
Yes, that's...
Oh... He robbed her of her breath here, like a good masseur.
That's... why I need Carlyle there. No one can fake harmlessness like Carlyle, because Carlyle isn't faking. That bash is a fortress. Only a mosquito can get through.
Was it you who got Esmerald Revere to snuff herself?
Dominic asked.
No, that wasn't me. Pure good luck, or someone else, but not me.
His voice turned black.
It wasn't luck.
Who then?
I don't know. Julia sighed. I think someone threatened to kill Cato Weeksbooth if they ever talked to me.
Could be.
You know I'd kill most of my minions if they ever talked to you.
She chuckled. Flatterer.
Is it someone in the bash, do you think?
Occam Sanir?
I don't know. From my view behind the door's crack, I caught a glimpse of one of them, an arm, and maybe Dominic's ponytail as he tilted back in a chair.
Come on. You spent time there, Julia coaxed. I know you can smell a killer.
Not when my nose is too full of God. Besides, Occam Sanir stinks to high heaven of killer legally. It's hard to scent anything under that.
What about Sniper? Wouldn't it be great if it were Sniper?
I heard a subtle smack of skin on skin, and something in their motion shifted, fabric rustling with subtle struggle as their silhouettes passed across my line of sight.
Which are you after, anyway? Dominic asked.
The cars, or Sniper?
In the Sunnier Weeksbooth bash.
Kisses slowed his speech again, drier and more breathy than before, an animal nuzzling.
Those two little set-sets. could feed you dirt on the whole world, second only to the tracker system. But on the other hand, sniper is sniper.